I hope that you can honestly sing that song, "The Longer I Serve Him, the Sweeter He Grows." God's been good to all of us in our hearts and our lives. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And I want to share with you from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, the only person who understood and accepted Jesus' coming death. The only person who understood and accepted the fact that Jesus in just a couple of days was going to die. Matthew and his writings, or Levi and the writings of Matthew, shares a lot of thoughts leading up to this. Tonight, in our evening service and Wednesday nights, we are going to begin the first chapter of the New Testament and work our way through it. Took us a long time to go all the way through the Old Testament, but we made it. Now we're going to go through the New Testament. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you look at those four Gospels, you find out some things that they were revealing, things that they were present and a part of that Jesus taught them along the way. And they recorded them. Now, some people would say chronologically, they're not in order, and they're not. In fact, John, Matthew, and Mark, they recorded this as being after the Jesus coming into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. Our Palm Sunday, as we'll observe next week. But for these, they recorded afterwards. And the things that's happened, it doesn't matter what chronological, ever how you say that word, order they're in. It's the fact that it happened, that Jesus dealt with them. He just set his disciples down and helped them to understand what was coming. But you know, it's hard-headed like a lot of us, and they just couldn't get it to sink in. And he'd use the story of the talents and how he gave each one of his servants and one buried his, and it brought forth no gain. You know, how many of us have buried our talents or our skills or our abilities or our chances or our opportunities or whatever's to serve the Lord? Each day that I serve Him, He becomes what? Sweeter. As the day goes by, He deals with that in our hearts and our lives. In chapter 26 here, it says here in the beginning, and including what had gone before, and it came to pass. What does that mean? It happened. When Jesus had finished all these sayings that he told them concerning his kingdom and in preparation for him to die, he said unto his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Put that in good old plain Bexley English. Jesus was telling them, "I got 2 days to live. And then I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified." And as he shares this with them, they understand the Passover. They know that it's an observance of the feast days when they come to Jerusalem. They know that they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where it's a reminder of the manna that came down from heaven. The Passover is just a reminder of the blood. If it was not over the doorpost, then the oldest son in that household died. They knew all of this. They knew what they were celebrating concerning that, but they did not understand that in 2 days, Jesus was going to die. They had seen him coming into town, riding on that donkey. They had seen a lot of other signs and wonders. Guess whose house is going to be staying at? Lazarus. What did he do for Lazarus? Raised him from the dead. That's right. So what they're doing here is trying to understand that the one that they wanted to live forever, saying that in 2 days I'm going to die. He said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then he's going to explain, Levi is in his writings of Matthew, to the best of his ability, what's taking place. Look at verse 3. He said, then assembled together the chief priest and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. You know, I told you a couple of weeks ago, as I shared with you about Caiaphas, Caiaphas' determination was to destroy Jesus. The scripture says, and they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety, excuse me, and kill him. That word subtlety just means some sly opportunity, some form of tricking him away from the crowd or whatever to take him and kill him. Their motive was very plain and very straightforward. They intended to do one thing and one thing only, and that was to kill him. And the scripture says, but they said, not on the feast days. This is not the time and this is not the place, lest there be an uproar among the people. They knew that if they stirred up the people, these Jews had come from all points, came into Jerusalem for the Passover. And as they came, what is fresh on their mind? What did Jesus just do for Lazarus? He healed him, didn't he? What did he just announce to his disciples? In 2 days, he's going to do what? Die. They came, they wanted to see, they wanted to be a part of it, they wanted to hear. But mainly, Lazarus rose from the dead. Why, even his sisters testified that if they roll that stone back, he stinketh. He'd already been in the grave several days. They wanted to see what happened. Verse 6 says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, that was one of his favorite places, because what do you know what he's going to get in Bethany? A warm belly, full of food, place to lay his head, clean laundry for the next day's journey. He was going to be taken care of. The scripture says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman. Now pay close attention here. There came unto him a woman, the scripture says, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. While he was there having his meal, this woman, that if you research it and find, it's Mary. And she comes in, and while Jesus is sitting there at the meal, she eases up behind him, opens the alabaster box, and pours out this very expensive perfume on the head of Jesus. Then she begins to take the hair of her head and dry the head and hair of Jesus, who she has just anointed with that. Oh, what in the world is wrong with her? That's some expensive stuff. That would bring high dollar. That's what the disciples thought. The scripture says, when his disciples saw that, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? The disciples thought it was what? A waste. A waste to do what? To anoint the head of Jesus. Why do you think Mary done that? What do you think was on her mind? She was convinced. Let's back up a little further than that. Every time Jesus come through Bethany, we know that he went to the house of Mary and Martha because he's going to get food for his belly. He's going to get clean clothes. He's going to get linen, place to sleep, all the things. They're going to roll out the red carpet for him. One of them was. Which one was it? Martha wasn't. She was so busy, you know, even one time she threw a little tizzy, you know, and said, Master, why don't you tell him to get up off of it and help me get this thing ready? And he said, what? Martha, Martha, just calm down now. What she does is a great thing, you know, to honor Jesus. She was always, every time he came, when you look for Mary, you're going to find her where? At the feet of Jesus. Jesus was doing what? Teaching and telling things just like he's telling his disciples here. In 2 days, I'm going to what? Die. And they just let that blow right on over. Didn't pay it a bit of attention. All they was concerned about was what he was going to do. They got mad. Said, what to purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Honorable thing. How many of you think if they'd have sold that perfume, they'd have given it to the poor? What would they have done with it? Stuck it down in their coffers. Who was over the treasure? A thief. By the name of what? That's right. You're coming along now. You're beginning to pick up with me. Come on. Just stay with me. What did Jesus tell them? When Jesus understood what they were saying, he asked them a question. Why do you trouble this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. She had come to a revelation of what? That Jesus was who he said he was. And she was the only person who understood. And she was the only person at this time that accepted the fact that Jesus was going to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Where'd she get that knowledge? Two places. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Where was the other one that she got that from? Standing at that tomb and hearing Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? He come out of there bound in those grave clothes. What did Jesus tell him? Loose him and let him go. Let him go. Mary understood. She accepted the fact that Jesus was who he said he was. Now let's see what the others done. The scripture says, let her alone. The poor you'll always have with you, but to me you will not have always. For in that she hath poured on this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. She was anointing his body. See, he wasn't going to, when he was dying on that cross. When he died, Joseph took him down off that cross. He didn't have time to do all the ceremonial things of embalming and things that they did at that time. He just had time to get him in the grave before Sabbath. She did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Back in the day and the time of Jesus and his resurrection, what are we studying today? what the dear lady done, anointing Jesus' head. He said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. Guess what? Who's in the whole world? Bexley is. What are we studying today? The death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Who's right in the middle of that? It ain't those 12 disciples. What'd they do? They scattered like a couple of quails when the heat got on, didn't it? But here he says that wherever the gospel is preached, there shall also this woman hath done. He told her, be told for her as a memorial. Then one of the 12, Judas, always just eat up with envy. When he seen that perfume pouring over the head of Jesus and pouring down and just wasting away, I think, man, what I could do if I had that in my purse. One of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. Who's the chief priest? Old Caiaphas. Said unto him, what will you give me, and I'll deliver him unto you? They coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. The one place where you'll find that they actually counted out to Judas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 30 pieces of silver that he paid to sell the Lord for a little kiss on the cheek. What will you give me? I'll deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time forward, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Everything that Jesus is dealing with them about is coming to pass. They know that he's going to observe the Feast of the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Where would you have us to do that? They're willing to keep the customs, but they got the Lord staring them in the face. They got the Lord there that has just sat down with them and taught them one-on-one. They're sitting right there with the Lord. And they're hearing what he's saying. They're witnessing what Mary did. They hear when Jesus says that wherever the gospel's preached, what she has done will be a memorial for her in the days of. We observing that today. Just like we'll observe other things. Palm Sunday, we'll observe the Lord's Supper and observance of what Easter represents. All the customs, all the designs, all the things that God has in our hearts and our lives. It's not an Easter bunny, folks. It's not a hunting an Easter egg. It's not a family gathering. If we're going to gather, we need to gather at the house of the Lord and give him first place. And then we can have something to praise the Lord about, what he's done for us in our lives, what he wants to do in the days ahead. For us to remember, out of all the people that he dealt with, what'd Peter say? He's a big mouth. He said, Lord, Lord, they're not going to put you on. I'm going with you even to the death. Peter, Peter, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. Was it going to be easy the next 2 days? Not at all. When he climbed that hill and went to that garden of Gethsemane and he fell on his face, he told his disciples to do what? Watch and pray. When he came back, what were they doing? They was asleep. Three times that happened, didn't it? What do you say then? Sleep on, boys. Sleep on. That's quite a contradiction to what he told Mary, wasn't it? What did he say about Mary? Wherever this gospel's preached, it'll be a memorial to her and what she did in anointing my head for burial. But when he told those disciples, he said, just sleep on. Sleep on. What will he say to us today? What you have done will be a memorial unto the gospel the days ahead. But just go on. Do your thing. Be your person. Share what you want to do. Tired of messing with you. He was concerned because he knew what. Every hour that ticked by, he's getting closer and closer to what? That cross. Now, I don't know about you, but Scripture teaches us that he sweat drops of blood. That agony was so great that he sweat drops of blood. And desiring of the Lord, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for him. If it wasn't easy for him, do you think it's going to be easy for us? We've got to trust him as our Lord and Savior. We've got to let him be the Lord of our lives and deal with us for the things that we have in our hearts and our life. Which one would you rather be? Judas? Maybe the other 11 disciples? Or would you rather be Mary? I'd rather be remembered for the good things, not the bad things. I'm trying to be what the Lord wanted me to do in my heart and my life. The number one thing is that we got to trust him and let him be that Lord of our lives. He said, whosoever will may come. He'd deny none of us, you know. And even old Peter, after he did all he did, Jesus went out of his way to find him when he come out of that grave and make things right with Peter. Couldn't do that with Judas because Judas did what? He ran out and hung himself, didn't he? He couldn't live with them 30 pieces. Threw them down, ran out of that building. They used that 30 pieces of silver to buy a potter's field. That's all it was fit for. Fit place of burial for those folks. Man, I don't want to be thrown away. I don't want to be recognized for what God's done in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, as we bow in your presence this morning, it's just awesome to think that out of all the things that Jesus done in the 3.5 years he's been with these disciples, all the Jews from all different places, all the messages he taught, all the lessons, all the parables he told, all the whatevers, it fallen on deaf ears, except for one little old lady. She took all that she had, an alabaster box of perfume, and anointed Jesus' head for the burial. She understood what Jesus was saying, that he must go to that cross and die for man's sins. How many of us this morning have accepted that as the truth, that God died for my sins? He died for your sins. He said, whosoever will could come to the foot of that cross, ask for forgiveness. And he reached his finger down in that blood that shed at that cross and write your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. So that you would know that you're a child of God. In your heart. God's speaking to you this morning. He's dealing with you about anything. Are you going to be dumb? Or are you going to be a believer like Mary? Father, show us what we need to do. Give us the courage to do it. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Stand together. We prayed and asked the Lord to to help you to understand things that God wants you to do in your heart and your life. Most important decision we'll ever make is whether we trust Him as our Lord and Savior. What are we going to sing, Brother Ernie?
Dear to the heart of God. 295.
Sing this verse together. If there's a need of your heart, these altars are open. You want to come kneel and pray?